It's my first good morning back. How are we doing?
Nothing to say, but what a day. How's your boy been? Bum, 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 bum.
I haven't heard it in a while. I missed you, John. 888-808-1019. Mick Monagle here with you. I got you for another hour as we take you to the warm-up show at 5. Taking your calls the rest of the way. Obviously, a big baseball night. We got to the football as well. Jackson Dart, the future quarterback of the New York Giants. That future may be closer than we have thought previously, as he's been named the second-string quarterback behind Russell Wilson, ahead of Jameis Winston. Talked about how I didn't like that. We can get to that as well. But the baseball teams yesterday, and specifically we started with the Yankees because the gauntlet of these 12 games that for some reason the fan base and everybody else seems to put this immense amount of importance on, it's important because they're playing the games today. It's important because I want to win the division. The New York Yankees need to win the division. They're three games back when you include the tiebreaker that the Toronto Blue Jays hold over them. These are important games because you can't lose any more games if you want to win the division. It's not because of some record they have against bad teams, but ultimately, these are 12 important games that you want to play well. And last night, coming off Aaron Boone at the North Carolina game and the unprepared nature of how unserious this organization is going into a building that, oddly enough, they've played well in. It's 8 in a row in the regular season out in Houston, but a team that has been their nemesis forever. And you're worried about what we saw against the Boston Red Sox the last time they played a good team, as they've been kicking the crap out of the St. Louis Cardinals and the Minnesota Twins and the Tampa Bay Rays and the Washington Nationals and the Chicago White Sox, and all those games don't mean anything. The last time we saw them play a good baseball team, and I put good in quotations when I talk about the Boston Red Sox, good enough, better than the lousy teams they've been beating, they not only did they lose, they crapped all over themselves, they kicked the ball around, they couldn't pitch, they made mistake after mistake. It was an ugly four-game set that they were lucky to get one win out of on a Sunday night baseball. So you're looking for some sort of semblance that they can play good teams. And last night, or that they can at least play well and be themselves, because we know, and I would think even the most hate, you know, filled Yankee fan who can't stand the manager, hates the team, hates Brian Cashman, hates the analytics, hates everything about them, and I know there's many of you out there, even you would have to say, talent-wise, this team is pretty much as good as anyone in the American League, but they can't stop beating themselves. So you're looking for a clean, crisp game. And last night, to start this 12-game gauntlet, immediately you're nervous. Because Max Fried, who has been better and was great last night, starts the game with a 4-pitch walk to Pena. And then Correa hits a tailor-made double play, and Volpe boots it and is able to get the one out at second base. And you think, here we go. Max Fried's wild. Anthony Volpe is going to kick the ball around defensively here. When one thing happens, it spirals out of control. And from that moment on, the Yankees dominated the baseball game. Max Fried was able to get out of that inning. He had Altuve out on a curveball, and he settled in and dominated and threw four no-hit innings. Was able to locate, was able to get big outs. Jazz gives you the two-run home run. You get the grand slam from Trent Grisham, and these two guys, how important they've been. And what a surprise, Trent. We haven't spent enough time this morning on how great Trent Grisham has been this entire season. And what a boost and what a surprise he has been. A center fielder who's hit leadoff, 28 home runs, has been as clutch as you could possibly be, 830 OPS, has had three grand slams, breaks the game open here in the beginning of the gauntlet. Just everything about Trent Grisham has been incredible for this team. And Jazz as well, who missed a month and he's on pace for a 30-30. He's got 28 home runs and 26 stolen bases and 847 OPS. Both of these guys have been huge for the New York Yankees. They come through with the home runs. And not only that, it wasn't even that the Yankees played their game. The Astros were the team that made the key mistakes. The Astros were the team doing stupid things like bunting in the third inning with the leadoff hitter. I could not believe they bunted and gave an out to Max Fried in the third inning after he was wild throwing balls to the backstop and then hits the nine hitter right in the back on the first pitch. And then Pena, who's got a 900 OPS hitting 300, one of the better leadoff hitters in the sport this year, gives him an out with a bunt. And they're able to get out of it. And the same in the seventh inning as Max Fried's on fumes, it feels like. And you got Devin Williams in the bullpen ready to come in with a five-run lead and runners on. And they bunt a pop-up and let them get out of the inning with a double play. Like, they're the ones making the mistakes. They're the ones playing tight. They're the ones not coming through. And the Yankees, outside of that Volpe bobble, make pretty much every play defensively. Ryan McMahon's diving all over the place. Goldschmidt making good plays at first base, coming through with clutch hits, and a nice, clean, crisp victory for the New York Yankees, who are the better team on the field, were the better team in the big game. They were able to get to their ace, Framber Valdez. There's all kinds of controversy about him getting pissed off at his catcher. We went through that a little bit, where on the pitch, on the grand slam, it looked like the catcher wanted him to back off and, you know, reestablish what pitch they were going to throw. Instead, he goes ahead, gives up the grand slam, and then the next at bat, there's a cross-up where the catcher takes a fastball right off the chest. There's all thoughts that it was done on purpose. So they're the ones that come out of this game arguing with each other. They're the ones who come out of this game making dumb, boneheaded plays to help the Yankees out, and the Yankees are the ones hitting home runs, having a great seven-inning, one-run performance from their ace, being able to go Blackburn for two innings and save the bullpen for the rest of the series. And it's just a good start to an important stretch for the New York Yankees. And then you get to the Mets, who pound the Detroit Tigers yet again. This offense, Juan Soto, two home runs from Pete Alonso. Jeff McNeil continues to hit. I mean, this offense that was so dormant in so many ways, and particularly with runners in scoring position, for 4 months of the year has just exploded. And that's not even the story of the game, because young Nolan McLean, who is now the first Met pitcher in history to win the first four starts of his career, gave you what you could argue, not his most dominant, but his best start of his career. Because early on in this game, he's wild. He gets a bad break on a bad call. He gives up a base hit. He gives up, you know, two runs. They're losing the game against the Tigers team that's had the best record in the American League pretty much all year, coming off a loss to the Mets yesterday, looking to exact some revenge. He doesn't know where the hell it's going. And then suddenly he settles in and retires the last 14 batters as the Mets continue to pound the baseball. That is the kind of performance, if you're going to rely on these young starters, the way it seems like the Mets are going to have to rely on McLean, how they're going to have to rely on Tong as the rest of this rotation struggles. As Kodai Senga, they're talking about possibly sending him to the minors or piggybacking him or figuring something out with him. Manai has been terrible since coming back from the injury. Peterson is pitching to a damn near 7 ERA over his last six starts in August. Like, this rotation kind of seems, you know, in a real tough go of it, and you're going to rely on these young kids. That's the kind of start where a young kid has the presence of mind, the ability to settle in, recognize his secondary stuff hasn't been able, didn't come out of the bullpen, rely on his fastball, get through, get a little bit of help with the runs insurance, sure, but able to find himself, get through it, end up finding those secondary pitches, and end up getting the last 14 batters he faces. That's an impressive performance. That is a performance beyond his years. That's the kind of performance you feel good about a young kid making a big-time postseason start, because that's where we're headed. The Mets are five games up in the wild card. The division's unlikely. You're looking at a three-game series in a month for your life. And right now, with the state of the rotation, you're going to be relying on young kids, and that's the kind of performance that makes me feel a hell of a lot better about McLean making a postseason start, because you know what? So far in his early career, he's had his great stuff with him. And if you can, if you have the kind of stuff McLean has, and you haven't been seen by Major League Baseball that much, and you go out there and you have your top stuff, not that it's easy to dominate the level he's dominated, but you can go out there and find it. You can go out there and get outs, especially with the run support he's had and his good stuff, that's fine. But to go out there and not have it, to come out of that bullpen not knowing where it's going, and then settle in to the point of 14 in a row, that's the kind of performance you look for a young kid, especially if you're going to rely on him the way the Mets are probably going to need to rely on him. So a good night for our baseball teams. I said Jackson Dart is the second string quarterback, and I don't understand it at all. All of that is on the table as we get ready for the weekend and the first football games of the year. Tomorrow night, the Cowboys and the Eagles will kick it off. I had a fantasy draft last night. I'll have another one tonight. As we get our football season underway and pennant race baseball underway, and the Yankees are 1-0 in this 12-game gauntlet. 888 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. Patrick in Jersey City. What's up, Pat?
Chris, what up, man? Thanks for talking to me.
What's going on, buddy? How are you?
Good, good, good. I don't know if I'm the first, but I definitely wanted to give credit to Aaron Boone for managing circles around Joe Espada last night.
He managed circles around him. There is no doubt about it. That Aaron Boone, he managed circles around him.
Those two pitching decisions in the seventh and sending Blackburn back out for the ninth, had they gone the other way, coupled with the football game on his day off, everybody would have been lined up to kill him.
That's the one thing about the football game. Because the fans are nuts. It's so stupid. It's so patently ridiculous.
The nerve of you going to a football game on your day off.
I know. Can you imagine people actually felt that way? I mean, Clint Frazier,
what a clown.
I can't believe Clint Frazier would put that out there. I really cannot believe.
I can't believe I can absolutely believe it.
I mean, I just can't believe he would put that. After defending Boone a lot over the last couple weeks, I mean, but the idea that any Yankee fan would be annoyed, and I had a couple because it happened. I was on the air yesterday or Monday as it happened. And, you know, you saw him walk out of onto the field or whatever. And immediately I got a bunch of the Yankees aren't serious. Why Boone's the Yankees are in Texas, Boone's in North Carolina. I'm just like, you guys are crazy. Then we found out his son is on the staff. Anyone who would have a problem with what Aaron, like he's supposed to be in his hotel room, like Glenn Close, turning on and off
He should be watching film,
figuring out, you know, I mean, it's so ridiculous. But the one thing would have been, because you're 100% right, if they would have come out and that initial four-pitch walk and that booted double play from Volpe spun out of control and it was 4-0 in the first inning, that would have actually become a story. And it would have pissed me off to no end. So the idea that they were able to overcome the manager not being there on their day off and play as crisp as they did after that moment was refreshing. And, yeah, look, I agree with you. To stick with Max Fried, especially in that moment. Now, if you go to a right-handed pitcher, you know Yordan Alvarez is coming out to pinch hit, so you don't want to avoid that. So it's an easy decision to leave Max Fried back out there. Max Fried even said in the postgame that they talked about going through Salazar there, that he was going to get Salazar no matter what. But that was a good decision. It ends up being the bunt, which is, I mean, that's the other thing. It's not even so much what Boone did. What the hell is Espada doing? I don't know if he called any of those bunts or.
That was an odd choice.
I mean, those two bunts are hideous. Hideous. Oh, my God.
I don't know. Maybe the players made the decision themselves.
I would think Pena, certainly. I don't know how you call for that bunt in the third inning. With the top of the lineup, Pena having the year he's having, you're going to give Max Fried an out there after throwing the ball to the backstop and hitting the nine batter in the back? That made so little sense. I couldn't even understand. It was the ultimate thank you. I'll take that out. It was so dumb. So dumb.
Yeah, sure. Keep it coming.
So, yeah, not only that, Boone had a good night. Boone had a good night. I mean, I don't think he did anything too outrageous. He trusted his ace to get through seven. He wasn't going to bring in another pitcher to have Yordan Alvarez pinch hit. So, it would have been interesting to see what happens. Now, a play that gets ignored in that spot is the base hit that Dubon has. It's a great stop from McMahon down the line. And it's an infield single, but it keeps it first and second. Because if that ball gets down the line, it's at least second and third. It could be a double with a run scored, but it's at least second and third. And now there is no bunt from Salazar. There is no bunt from Salazar. Now he's swinging away. I don't know what happens. Not that they necessarily lose the game, but that's a big play. And McMahon, after Caballero got thrown out for no reason, we didn't really even get into that. It's just pathetic. I mean, there's nothing worse. I understand missing calls. I understand he's a human. People make mistakes. I thought he had a terrible night behind the plate, but that happens. But the idea that as Caballero is calmly speaking to him, and we don't know exactly what was said, but I don't care what it is. And they're talking on the broadcast about magic words. I don't care what it is. If he is calmly, without being demonstrative and without getting in your face, if he says, you know what, that was just a terrible call, you've been bad all night, walk away. Like, that's okay. Like, walk away. Why are we throwing batters out in the fourth inning when they are calmly speaking to you? It's outrageous that these umpires are so quick to throw people out. But never mind the fact Boone makes the right decision there instead of going to Rosario and playing him at third and trying to keep a right-handed bat in the order, you're up a couple runs. I think at that point it was only two. You're up two runs. Put your best defense out there, especially with Max Fried, who got so many ground balls to the left side. And he made a bunch of nice plays, McMahon. And let's be fair, outside of the bobble double play, Anthony Volpe made a bunch of nice plays. So they played well defensively behind him. Even Stanton out in left field, and there was a lot of talk about Stanton playing left for the first time since, 2022, whatever it was, early 2023. He even plays the ball off the wall fairly well and holds Correa to a single. Like, the Yankees just played good, clean, crisp baseball last night. There's no ways around it. And it was nerve-wracking for a second. The four-pitch walk and then the booted double play scared me. I was like, here we go. And from that moment on, they dominated the baseball game. And if they can do it at least one more time here and take a series from Houston, you feel better heading into this Toronto series that is ultimately, to me, the big series is Toronto and Boston. Those are the big series. I'm not even that concerned about Detroit. Not concerned about the next 2 days as much. The big series is Toronto and Boston. But this was a good start. Let's go to Melody in South Central Indiana. Oh, Melody, how are you?
Hi.
Hi.
Do I have a problem with my sound?
You do not have a problem with your sound. You sound wonderful.
Excellent. Great. Now listen, Chris.
Okay.
I am an old woman, and I am an ex-New Yorker.
Okay.
Lived in downtown New York for many decades. And because I'm disabled, I listen to the station all the time, like for hours at a time, and I never want to miss you because you are my absolute favorite.
Oh, that is very kind. And thank you for staying up with me at 4:20 in the morning.
Oh, every night. And I mean, I'll even go with the guys who are in for you.
Yeah, but they're not me.
I know.
What are you going to do?
They're not you.
Not me.
You're the thing. And when I was still working in Lower Manhattan, I was an actress and a singer. Yeah, for many years.
Oh, that's interesting. Good for you.
I split my days and nights between working at the health department and doing my art. And while I was working at the health department, which actually includes the medical examiner's office.
Okay.
I was right downtown going to work because my office is only a few blocks away from the World Trade Center.
Mm.
So, I saw all that happen.
Wow.
I was right there, and I kind of had to move along.
Nah, that must have been a traumatic experience.
It was terrible, but I had to go to work. It was either I run away or I go do my job, which was on the mortality team. And so I did that for many, many months. And it did traumatize me because I had no time for my own life.
Sure.
And I had to get out for a little while because I had PTSD. And so I moved to the mountains in Northeast Pennsylvania. And that wound up giving me an 8-hour day commute at the minimum.
An 8-hour day? You commuted from the mountains in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, from the mountains to Lower Manhattan.
Wow.
It was brutal.
Yeah.
But I did it for years and years. And, I mean, that's how much the nature healed me
The
country. And the thing that I want to say to you, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for your discussions on Sicily and the time you had and the sights that you saw and the food that you ate and this very explicit description of all of these experiences just warmed my heart so much. And because I'm old and I'm sick, I'm not going to ever be able to go there. And mm-hmm. you gave me a first-person experience of that, which I treasured
most. Well, that's very kind, Melody. And I appreciate that. Thank you for calling in. I hope one day you do get to go, Melody. I hope one day you do get to go to Sicily. It was quite the experience. I don't know if I described it all that well, but it is a interesting place with a different. It just feels like you're in six different places all at once. It was really an incredible experience. The boys loved it. They were great on the plane too. I was just telling Eddie, I was just shocked how good they were on the plane. They had their moments while they were in Sicily. You know, they were done walking around. They were done seeing the sights. They just wanted to go in the pool or the beach. But like 10-hour flights, pretty much. And they were great on the flights. And they had a great time. So it was a lot of driving across the entire island. It was really a lot of fun. It was quite the adventure that the McMonagle clan went on. So it was a lot of fun. And I appreciate that you took something from the stories. I have more. I want to introduce them slowly. We have a couple of funny things that happened. And I talked about the differences. The toilet
seats.
You got
to save a lot of stuff for February and March.
Yeah. I'll bring up the Italy trip in February and March. But I talked about the public bathrooms. One, they charge you. I was in, we went to Mount Etna, and I was looking for a bathroom for the little guy who, you know, he's never had to go to the bathroom without having to go to the bathroom right now, Daddy. Like and he's like, you don't understand. No, I'm like, I do understand. I have all the same stuff you do. A plumbing is the same. I know exactly what it feels like. And when I know I start to have to kind of go, I don't have to all of a sudden go or I'll pee my pants. But that's the little guy. So I'm running for a bathroom and I found one. I go running into it. All of a sudden there's a guy who comes out of nowhere. He's like, no, 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 no. I'm like, what? And he points to a bowl and it says 80 cents or whatever. I had to pay 80 cents to use the bathroom. So they charge for the bathroom, and then you get in there and there's no toilet seat. They don't have toilet seats in the public bathrooms. I don't know if they're trying to dissuade you from using the bathrooms. They charge you money and there's no toilet seat. Like, screw this, I'll find a bush somewhere. I don't know. I would never do that, but never. But that's a little bit different. Also, the one thing I'll say, too, about the experience of eating at restaurants, There's no tipping there, which I find very difficult to not tip, but there's no tipping. There is a part of every check comes with a service charge or whatever. It's not nearly the 18% that you would get charged here for a large party and a service charge, but there's no tipping. And so let me just put it this way. The waiters and waitresses aren't relying on your pleasure with the experience. So there's a lot of like looking around waiting for the waitress. Like, it's like you go to a restaurant here. It's like they practically bombard you with everything good. You okay? Everything good? Can I get you anything? Blah, blah, blah. You go to Italy. It's like they put down the drinks and then you'll see them in a half hour. But it also gives you time to sit there and enjoy the company of your children. And, you know, can I play Baseball 9 on your phone? Yeah, I guess you could. Yeah.
Have something to say? Dial us 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
All right. Time to tell you about the city's biggest indoor pickleball event coming back October 10th and 11th. And it will sell out. Sign up for the fun or for the cash prizes. Go to 1010wins.com/pickleball for all the info. The pickleball tournament is presented by Nissan. At Nissan, we make cars that thrill. Experience the thrill for yourself today. Shop NissanUSA.com. I like to pick up pickleball. They pickleballed the court in my neighborhood. I don't know if anybody wants to play with me at the hours I can play, but I would like to pick up some pickleball.
I would imagine there are some people that play pretty early, so you could go get in a match or two before you got to take the kids to school and all that.
Yeah. I would think so. There's got to be somewhere.
Excuses. If you want to get out there, get out there.
That's it. I'm not making any excuses. I could go play pickleball if I want. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the calls here as we take you for another half hour until the warm-up show at 5. Paul in Buffalo. What's up, Paul?
Chris, all the calls I've made to Sail Before You and to you for years complaining about starting pitchers, I get to say it in the words of the great 21st century poet Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, an ace has come back to New York City. Finally, I watched a starting pitcher go 7 innings and dust up Astros. Yeah. I watched a starting pitcher see Jose Altuve with runners on base early in the game and serve him up a curveball that he popped up. And let me say this. We have a second baseman who is going to be a perennial all-star. I love me some Jazz Chisholm. Yep. In a night where the two best hitters on the team had zero RBI from Stanton, zero from Judge. The best offense in baseball. Let me say that again. The best offense in baseball dropped 7 runs on Houston. And get ready, Blue Jays. We're going to rip that division from you on Sebastian Day. Make
like
no
it,
mistake,
Paul.
It's a great day to be a Yankee fan, baby.
Yeah,
have a good
look
one,
at
Chris.
You. I love it. Look, you're not wrong. And the offense has been kind of doing it without Judge. And Jazz has had an incredible year. And I remember taking calls. Jazz isn't a winning player. Jazz is this. Jazz is that. I know he had that stupid play on the pop-up. And he struggled for a little bit. But the dude has missed a month on 2 different IL stints. And he's going to have 30 home runs and 30 stolen bases. He's got an 850 OPS. Jazz is having an incredible season. Jazz is was a great trade. Jazz is having a very good Yankee career. And hopefully it's for a while. Same thing with, you know, we'll see about Grisham. I don't know. He's earning himself some money. I can't believe the Yankees are actually going to be able to offer Grisham the qualifying offer. That's crazy. That alone is crazy. That he's going to probably turn down a qualifying offer of $20 million. He's making less than $6 million now. He took a pay cut off of his $6 million last year. And they're going to offer him a qualifying offer of about $23. I think it's like $22-23 million for next year. And he's going to turn it down. That's the kind of year Trent Grisham's going to have. Boy, that's the kind of offseason Trent Grisham's going to have. Then you've got Bellinger they need to probably re-sign. If you look at the team, here's the thing. Like, you're right. The offense is good now. They're going to have to hit in the postseason like always, and they haven't, and hopefully this team will. But this is why I don't understand why Yankee fans, like, outside of the debacle that has been a lot of the season with Devin Williams, and obviously the issue that has become the starting shortstop in Anthony Volpe. Like, outside of that, I don't know why there's so much animosity for the team. I know they haven't won enough games. I know they went through their typical June swoon. I know they played bad against, the Red Sox and the Blue Jays. But like, look at you don't like when you don't like watching Jazz play baseball. You don't like Bellinger watching Bellinger play baseball. You don't think Ben Rice has had this incredible year. The surprise that has been Trent Grisham with his clutch home runs all over the place. He's going to hit 30. Jazz is going to hit 30. Like I like this team. That's what's been so frustrating about it, and that's why I have finally started to get on Boone, because I think they're dramatically underachieving because I like the team. I think it's a good team. I think they are far better than what they've been. They should be well in front in this division. And now they have another 23 games to go out there and take it. And if they do, I'm going to feel pretty damn confident about this team. I am. Paul was very confident, but I'm going to be pretty damn confident about it. Not that they can't lose to anyone. They could lose to anyone because they beat themselves. But they're good enough to go out there and beat anyone, too. I really like this team. Now, they lost Cole, but a huge part of this is going to be if Max Fried's going to be the pitcher he was for the last 3 starts and will be, continue to be, the pitcher he's been for the last 3 starts. They're going to need Cam Schlittler to continue to pitch like this. And they're going to need, Carlos Rodon not to blow up in big games. Those are a lot of things that need to happen. Same thing with any other team. Have you watched the Detroit Tigers? Who are they throwing in games 2 and 3 of a postseason series? What are they going to need? What are the Boston Red Sox going to need? What are the Toronto Blue Jays going to need? They're going to need things too. They're going to need things to happen too. And if not more things than the New York Yankees will need. But it's one game, and they're going to have to go do it. But that's why I don't put the pressure on these 12 games as much as other people do. Like, when will I? Oh, I won't take the Yankees serious. Then you're foolish. You should take the Yankees seriously. When the Yankees start the playoff series, wherever it is, whatever round it is, if it's a wild card series, if it's the DS, if they're at home, if they're on the road, game one, you should take them serious. Because they're a seriously talented team. And as long as they don't beat themselves, they can beat anybody. Brett in Long Island, what's up, Brett?
Good morning, Chris. Welcome
Good
back.
Good morning. Thank you.
Had a wonderful trip.
Thank you. That was very kind of you. Thank you.
We all know how you love your Italian heritage and how important it is to you.
Correct.
So while you were away, I learned how to speak a little Italian. Pensi che Daniel Jones vincetta un Super Bowl quest'anno.
Yeah, okay. Good luck with that.
Well, do you think Daniel Jones will win a Super Bowl this year?
Yes. I don't think there's any doubt. I think him and the Colts are destined for a championship. There's no doubt.
Because while you were away, I think it was while you were away. They named him, officially named him a starter.
They certainly did.
And Chris, one more thing before I hang up, and it is great to have you back.
Oh my God, thank you.
I have to admit it. Yeah. I know you're gonna say I'm crazy, but there's something going on with the Giants. I feel like Russell Wilson is going to be out soon, and I think Jackson Dart's the real deal. I think they're going to make the playoffs this year. It just has that feeling.
Yeah,
it's always when no one expects them to be good. Chris.
Yeah.
Look at their history. Always when everybody doubts them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of with you. I don't know if you've been listening to me a little bit. I'm gung ho on them. I predicted on Saturday.
I predicted
on Saturday. I think they're going to win the first two games. I think they're going to beat Washington and Dallas. I like the Giants this year. I don't know about playoffs because the schedule is tough, but I think they're going to be in the mix for a playoff spot. I like the Giants. I'm pounding the over at 5.5, pounding it. I think.
Yeah, I was going to say, call me crazy. Yeah. 5.5 is disrespectful.
I don't know about disrespectful.
There's something wrong there.
I don't know
five
about disrespectful. Yeah, it's a low number for me. I think it's the schedule. It's what they've been the last handful of years. It's the idea of you don't know when you're going to go to the young quarterback. There are things playing into that 5.5 number, Brett. But I agree with you. I think they're going to be over on the 5.5. I do. I think they're going to win I think they're going to be almost halfway there after the first two games. I don't know why. I just have a feeling. I think the Commanders are the oldest team in football. I think they're due for a step back. I like Kingsbury as an offensive coordinator. I don't love Dan Quinn as a head coach. He did a great job last year. The whole thing did a great job. A full year of tape on Jaden Daniels. I'm just not ready to thrust the Washington Commanders into another level that the Giants can't go play. They had the Terry McLaurin thing. He hasn't played much. I know that they played all of last year, and he's a great player. I'm not saying it's suddenly going to be that they're not going to be on the same page, but there's just something about that Commanders team. The Giants always play well against them. I think Russell Wilson's going to play his best couple of games while he's healthy at the start of the year. I think Dable's going to coach an offense that has weapons now, and hopefully competent quarterback play. I just have a feeling they're going to win that game, and I think Dallas is a mess. And I don't think the roster's that good. And I think a force that just has absolutely dominated the Giants and Micah Parsons is no longer there. And, yeah, they should have a good passing attack, but I don't really love their run game. I don't love their defense. I think the Giants are going to go beat the Cowboys. I don't know. I just think that the Giants are going to get 2-0 start. And then, obviously, come home for Kansas City, and it's going to be tough, and we'll see what the rest of the schedule is, and that, you know, Denver Eagles is an impossible stretch. So I don't know, but I think 5.5 is a little bit low. Now, as far as what's going on with the quarterback position, I don't know what to make of him being the second string quarterback. You might be right. I mean, there's a chance that we're going to see this kid well before I thought we were going to see him, and I don't know how I feel about it. I don't love it. I don't love him being the second-string quarterback and possibly going to play. Now, you got to remember, we don't know yet about the only thing that really makes me hesitant about picking him to win the first two games is we're not sure about Andrew Thomas yet. If Andrew Thomas plays, I'll feel a hell of a lot better. If he doesn't play, I'm going to feel a hell of a lot worse. But I think he's as important a player as the Giants have. I still think the offensive line can be good enough. But that's going to be a big telling point on how good I think the Giants can be in the first 2 weeks if they don't have Andrew Thomas or not. But having said that, like, I just, without him, is it possible, Russell Wilson did get banged up last year. He does stay in the pocket a little bit, tries to get the ball down the field. That's his game. If he gets hurt, you're telling me you're going to thrust Jackson Dart into a situation? I hate that. I hate the idea of Russell Wilson going down and having to bring in Jackson Dart in the first two games of the year on the road against the divisional opponent. The whole point of this was to give this kid room to grow. I know he's impressed. I know he played extremely well in the preseason, and I'm sure Brian Daboll's a hell of a lot higher on him than he even thought he would be. That's great. But it doesn't make any... I don't know the benefit of it. What's the benefit of it? If Russell Wilson goes down, I'd rather have Jameis Winston. That's why he's here. And then... after that, if Russell Wilson's down for a long period and you want to go to him, then make him the second quarterback and call him the starter for the next week. I don't like the idea of the first time we see Jackson Dart is thrust into a middle of a game because of injury. And that's what scares me the most. And plus, now you've put added pressure on him. You've indicated that you feel he's ready to play right now, which begs the question, why not just play him right now? There was no need to make this designation. I don't understand it. But yeah, I kind of agree with you, Brett. I get the sense is that he's going to play a hell of a lot quicker than we thought. And I get if they really feel he's the best quarterback in the room, and they just want to give him maybe the first 2 weeks or something. I don't know. I'm a little concerned about how they handled this quarterback situation. I'm a little concerned because I wanted to give him time. They brought in the two quarterbacks specifically to give him time. Give him the time. Let him get his feet wet. Because if you really think he's ready, then play him now. Like, why even bother with this?
Your friends pretend they know sports. WFAN actually does. Get smarter, louder, and way more annoying at watch parties. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always streaming on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps.
Right, 4:49, McMonagle here with you for another few minutes on this Wednesday, the last day without football. Or at least the last day without professional football, as we had college last week. We talked a little bit about Arch Manning, too. Remember how many calls, Fleeks, we got about, don't draft any quarterback, wait for Arch Manning next year. Tank again and go pick up Arch Manning. Well, I don't want to make too much because I think it's been overblown, but Arch Manning didn't look that good in his first game for Texas. It wasn't even just not playing well. His mechanics looked off. He was obviously throwing sidearm a lot. It just did not look like a Heisman favorite. Now, that's one game, but at the same time, it's just right now Jackson Dart's the toast of the town and everyone is mocking Manning. So when you need a quarterback, you have to draft. You can't wait. Plus, I don't even know if he's going to come out. Right? Didn't Archie Manning come out and say he's probably not going to come out? And then he kind of said, well, we'll see. But he might not even come out, and he looked awful in week one. And he's going to stay in Texas and make $5 million and be the king of that area, assuming he plays well. And now Jackson Dart's already the number two quarterback for the New York Giants. And look fantastic in preseason, so you just never know. But this is the last night. We won't have football. Thursday starts the year. Dallas and Philadelphia. I think it's a 7. Is it still 7.5? I think it moved a point off of the Micah Parsons move. I'm assuming it's still, Philly minus 7.5 with an over of 47.5. But we'll get into football season, obviously, starting. And then, I don't know about tonight is one of those nights, man. Because I'm in so many stupid freaking fantasy leagues, I can't tell anybody no. I don't know why I don't tell people no and why I don't leave these things. The neighbors want to, I move into the new neighborhood, they want a fantasy league. Okay, yeah, sure. My buddies want to start one. Okay, sure. And the next thing I know, I'm in 5 or 6. Now I got to draft one with my son, too. Now he won the fantasy draft last year, so now... we're doing, for no money, of course, just me and the kids and my brother-in-law and everything, like the 6 of us. So I got to do that one. I have 4 fantasy drafts tonight. 4 tonight. One in person at 7 p.m. Then I got two other legitimate ones, and then I got the kid one, which will probably be done before 7, I would think. I don't know if we've set a time for it, but hopefully before 7 when the kids go to bed. And then, of course, I got the Astros game. You got the Mets. I got a lot going on. Oh, we'll all do it Wednesday. And then I don't care, and I just say yes to everybody. People text, like, in the group chat with your family, like, can you do Wednesday at 9? I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. Not even recognizing, oh, yeah, Wednesday at 9. I have one Wednesday at 8, one Wednesday at 8:30, and now I have one Wednesday at 9.
Ours at 10 goes really quick, though.
That is true.
Like, that'll be done by 11.
That'll be done by 11. Four, team keeper. That'll be done. I had the ridiculous keeper league that Monzo started all those years ago. He doesn't even run it anymore. But it's a five-player keeper league. The benches, the roster is ridiculously long. You're picking guys you have no idea at the end. It's the worst draft. It's a fun league in some ways, and I was successful with it last year. If you get a good team and a young team, you can be good for 3 or 4 years. But if you don't, it's hard to get out of that hole. And it's five keepers, man. You keep the same team every – Too many fantasy leagues. Too many. Two baseball fantasy teams. Too much. Too much. But it's that time of year. Looking forward to it. We will get more into the football, obviously, as we get closer to Friday. For a football Friday, the picks are back. The taking a chance is coming back. I can't wait to see. Nothing makes you think of football more than ABBA these days. So I'm looking forward to that. 888-808-1019. We haven't talked too much about the Jets just yet. Talked more about the coach and just this offense and the quarterback that scares me. I have optimism around the Jets, I have to admit. I know that we could always do this. Who's going to have the better season, Jets or Giants? I mean, the Giants' schedule is tougher, but I mean, the Jets don't play in a easy division necessarily, as Buffalo is obviously going to be a very good team again this year, and they don't have an easy schedule. But I have to admit, I'm more optimistic about the Giants this year. Oh, and the other thing I saw is BT tweeted out some ticket website is predicting that 48% of the building is going to be Pittsburgh Steelers fans. Opening day. Brand new regime, Aaron Glenn, new head coach, new quarterback, optimism around this whole thing. They're going to button up this regime. They're going to get rid of the penalties. The roster's good enough to win at the line of scrimmage. You have one of the better offensive lines in the sport. You're playing the nemesis, sort of nemesis, Aaron Rodgers and the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Jet fans are going to allow. I know Evan's part of this problem. He sold his tickets. 48% of the. It's going to be a 50-50 Jet fan Pittsburgh Steeler. Now, I know the Pittsburgh Steeler fans travel very well. I get it. Right? I understand that. It's a very popular fan base. They travel well. It's not that far. They just brought in Aaron Rodgers and made moves to be as all in as I can ever remember the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like, they have just decided this is going to be the year they go for it. And they've gotten away from some of the typical stuff that they rely on, trading for wide receivers, bringing in Aaron Rodgers, trading for aging cornerbacks. Like, they have just done, they've handled this offseason very differently. And back a couple weeks ago, whenever it was, when I was working the mornings, filling in and working with Willie Colon, and he talked about how Aaron Rodgers looked fantastic at camp. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to be one of the more fascinating teams in the league. I think it's a tough matchup for the first week of the New York Jets. And especially if the building is going to be half Steelers fans. Now, I don't know how they predict that. I guess just by who's selling the tickets and where the tickets are being bought from and all that stuff. I suppose that's how they come up with the algorithm that gives them their prediction on how many fans are going to be in the building. But a 50-50 coin flip for opening day, I have to admit, Jet fans, that's embarrassing. That's embarrassing. You can't let that happen. I know it's not, I know the Cowboys travel well. The Pittsburgh Steelers travel well. I get it. And if you have season tickets, you have an opportunity to make a hell of a lot of money. Plus, you like to watch the games on Sunday. You got the Giants and the Jets at the same time. But, man, oh, man. How can you start a year with a new head coach and a new regime and trying to build a new culture, and the first game he's going to coach in this new culture is going to feel like a road game? As Aaron Rodgers comes back to MetLife with half the building cheering for him? And they're throwing, and you guys are throwing out Justin Fields? I don't know. I'm going to have a tough time getting over the quarterback situation until I see it play out. I don't have any faith in Justin Fields at all. I don't know how they're going to get, like, I think the offensive line can be really good. I think the running backs are dynamic. I think the defensive unit is good enough, especially with Glenn coaching them up. I believe you're going to, hopefully, although we saw turnovers in the postseason, in the preseason, I expect the turnovers to be limited. I expect the team to look better. I expect the team to function better. I expect all of the stuff that we expect. But I just don't know. Like, Wilson's going to be double teamed. Where are you throwing the ball? I have a real tough time with this passing offense. And it's 2025. You can tell me all you want. Culture, run the football, beat the man in front of you. You know, have a kind of lunch pail team and all the coach speak that we get over and over again. You got to be dynamic in the passing game. You want to win. You're gonna welcome in Aaron Rodgers into this building against a Pittsburgh Steelers team with one of the best defensive players in Watt in the NFL. You're going to let them load the box and try and run it down the throat of the Pittsburgh Steelers? I mean, it's not impossible. But I have to admit, I think I'm more optimistic about the Giants this year than I am the... And that hasn't been me. And if you think, oh, of course you're a Giant fan. Not been me. I've hated the Giants. And I've been pro-Jets, pro-Aaron Rodgers. I had them going to the AFC Championship game 2 years running. I don't know about this year, though. Not with half the building being Pittsburgh Steelers. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening. Fleegs, good to be back. Back in the swing of things. We'll catch you tomorrow at 2 a.m. Right back at it. We'll preview the game tomorrow night. We'll get more into a little bit about around the NFL and get ready for our week one in the league that they play for pay. And, of course, we'll have a reaction to more of the Gauntlet. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye. Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.